was bandied around now, right?
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you're going to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi folks out there in podcast land, you're very welcome to the Irish Examiner's 2019 Championship podcast here at the midway point in the season, I suppose, even though a bit scary. I think there's only about 7 hurling matches left for us. We've had a feast. 7, well, I'm not discounting now the lower tier ones, obviously there's a few of them to come, but 7 majors I think to come, so which is... It's a funny one, isn't it, the way it goes?
It's frightening, Dillo. Like, I was counting this morning, I think we've 9 weeks to the final. You were kind of planning your route and planning your matches, like, you know what I mean? So it's kind of come thick and fast for the last couple of weeks, and then we get a bit of a break for a fortnight, and then we kind of go again, and then every couple of weeks in July. So it's...
Should have said it initially, we're joined, delighted to be joined by, as Mihála Mirhurtig used to describe him, Ken Hogan from Lara today. A lot of goalies in the room. Michael Moynihan's here as well, and Larry's here. We're just after realising there's 2 tip lads in the room this morning. It's probably a reflection on the way the championship is going so far. So, Ken, funny that the hurling is nearly, you know, down to provincial finals.
It's hard to believe that we're not playing next Sunday. There's no match next Sunday. I was looking at the Sunday game last night. And it's all football next Sunday, starting with the Munster football final. So it gives us a chance though, to whet appetites, you know, and try and get a few tickets for Gaelic grounds, get a few good tickets, because up to now we were buying them in Sintra and Super Value. Now the situation will be arising that people will be getting choosy and they'll want to get the tickets. And of course, Limerick have a huge following. And if I be honest, Anthony, I'd say Limerick were easily probably the majority of the supporters there yesterday, whether they had bought him 6 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, but there's a huge hunger still in Limerick for success.
It's just a pity maybe he wasn't there with the team, Ken, yesterday. As a Clareman, having to do my duty before the Connacht football final in Salt Hill, I was praying for a Limerick win, obviously, hoping that Clare would do the business. Michael, you were in Cusick Park?
I was, Anthony, and can I just... Thank you very much for your breakfast recommendations in Ennis and Clare Castle. No nice cafes recommended.
Couldn't regard the rest of the cafes.
Moynihan walks around Ennis with his stomach stuck to his backbone anyway. But it was a good game. Good game. But I have to say, before I go any further, there was a burst of rain and thunder and lightning in the second half, and I never saw anything like it. You could literally barely see the other side of the field.
Didn't you win in All-Ireland in one of those, a thunder lightning final?
No, we lost that one.
You lost that one?
The rain coming down next day.
Sorry about it.
That was during the middle of your famine, or one of them. I only saw Limerick tip on the Sunday game, so I couldn't judge it. But like, definitely Cork and Clare was, you know, kind of cranky and good scores and fellas really horsing into it. And, you know, you could see Cork were there to win as well. It wasn't like we'll depend on tip to do us a favour, but... it was a very good game, no, in fairness.
Yeah, I suppose sticking with that for a minute, I suppose, Ken, you were in Thurles, but I was obviously at Salt Hill for the Connacht football final, but only watched the Sunday game, and you'd have to say that Cork didn't know that what was going to happen in Innes. On all known form, Cork were going to come up and beat Clare the way Clare were hurling, but like in that sense... funny one for Cork, isn't it, where they're at. Like, they misperformed the first day. Now Tip are playing very well, but a little bit of, you know, couldn't get the job done yesterday. They're true, fair enough, but if you were John Myler now, you know, as an ex-manager.
Yeah, John, like he mentioned yesterday, I suppose, you know, when you're interviewed after the match, he said, look, we're third place, we've gone through. I met Donal O'Grady yesterday as well, and typical Donal, he was very smart to say that's the place to come in, Ken, number 3. And I suppose from everybody's point of view, like in Thurles yesterday, you sense like that Limerick and Tip are sort of looking at one another. What are we going to do here? Are we going to go at it? Are we going to drive at it? And there was a little bit of tension between the teams. I felt both teams, obviously Liam Sheedy, like, you know, everything is off the cuff. Honesty, you know, fervour. Winning is a habit. That's the way he'd be looking at it. And that's the way Tip... set out their stall. But from everybody's perspective, the Clare game, like Saturday night, gave Clare hope, you know, Dublin winning in Parnell Park, what happened down in Wexford Park, and then it was mentioned, which should be mentioned as well, Clare Miners, who I liked that day in Innes, came out and had a huge win against Cork and knocked Cork out of the minor championship. So all those things culminated in a huge boost for Clare coming onto the pitch and saying, let's get at Cork. And Cork weren't to know that obviously they were hoping Limerick would do the job in Turles. It didn't happen, and that's a huge disappointment, I'm sure, down in Clare. There'll be regrets there, like Tip had regrets last year. So at the end of the day, you've got to put your best foot forward, and I think Tip have done that so far, you know, from the point of view of that winning mentality. How far that brings you later on in the year at the business end, we'll see.
Just before we move on, actually, that's a good point from Ken, because the minor match, you know, was very good. Like, Clare were well on top, Cork got two goals, and it was, you know, hammering tongs. And actually, I think the atmosphere really changed when Clare got the late winner. There was a real high, and I think the senior team, whatever effect it had on them in the dressing room, certainly when they came out, I'd say they probably fed off that there was a real feel-good vibe in the stadium on the back of that win, which was a terrific win, in fairness.
I know, Dale, you say about finishing third place is probably the place to be, but I'd say if you're, you know, looking at it, I think Cork still behind it all would have loved to have got the Munster final. They've won it for the last 2 years, and you don't get too many chances to win 3 Munsters in a row. And I think from the point of view of that, you know, as well as, you know, I suppose losing the match yesterday, but I suppose well, the next couple of days they'll move on from and they'll reassess and they'll say, well, maybe third place isn't a bad place to be. But I've no doubt yesterday I went up looking at trying to win the match and looking at getting to the Munster final, because it would have been in Cork as well. You know what I mean? It would have been a lift for if they were playing Tip in the Munster final. It would have been in Cork. It would have been a chance to, you know, even though they might be playing them again later on in the year, I still think that they went up to try to win that game.
Yeah, I hear you totally, and that would be our way of thinking, all of us in the room, including you, Larry. Yeah. 3 Munster finals in a row, isn't it? When Jimmy Dyle was playing the last one. But, I wonder, though, is that the modern days fellow, is that his way of thinking? Do you know, he looked at last year, I suppose, with is winning another Munster any good to Cork now?
Well, it would have been just to get to the final would have been a huge occasion again. I think, you know, I wouldn't underestimate the value of playing in a Munster final. You know, you win that, you're just one game away from the final, and it's, you know, you're back a small bit now. You're not sure you're going into preliminary quarter final. You'll probably win that, and then you have a quarter final against the losers of Leinster from a Cork point of view. You know, that's not going to be easy, even though it'll probably be in Thurles, which will be.
But the other way, let's say, hasn't worked for the last couple of years.
No, that's fine.
And they haven't made the final, and so maybe I thought. Just a bit of crack on Twitter last night with a few lads about Clare are still out, so I couldn't be saying too much back, but. Do you know, I said the change of route might suit you. Do you know?
I suppose it remains to be seen. But I still think the mentality would have been that they would have went out to it. Like, they needed, they couldn't take a chance on yesterday's result that Limerick were going to beat Tip. So I suppose that was the main thing. They went out. Did they go up to win the game? There was no shadow boxing. There was no, we'll take, you know, we're okay here. Like, I think Limerick were very comfortable yesterday. They knew they were in the Munster final door. They were qualified no matter what. And I think the edge wasn't in their game yesterday compared to what was there the week before. I think they got to a huge high against Clare because that was, you know, that was shit or bust really for them. You know, they were, if they lost, they were out. Whereas yesterday they didn't. They knew they were in, they were qualified. And that little edge was off them a small bit.
There was a muted atmosphere in Turles yesterday. And I'd say primarily because Limerick never got going. They never got going to the pitch of the game like they're normally accustomed to. Now you have a situation of John Kiely, you know, he's achieved national titles, you know, All-Irelands and National Leagues. He hasn't won that elusive Munster medal. So it's going to be Limerick all guns blazing in Gaelic grounds. And I think that's a good thing for hurling, and it's a good thing for Tip, because Tip are going to be really tested now to the core. And yesterday was a tight, hard game, which was no harm for Tip either, because up to this, we had got the run of the ball, we had got the breaks, and we had been well in control in all our games. Yesterday didn't start like that. Tip didn't score for 10 minutes, remember? You know, and we were glad to get that free early on when John McGrath was pulled down and Shamey slapped the pint over. One pint settled the team down and things got working from that point of view. And of course, the injury toll in Tip is taking its measure now because of the fact that we're a bit despondent. You mentioned Laura, we were very despondent in Laura and Tipperary today. Hopefully Bonner, it won't be as serious as his first thought, but it doesn't look too healthy.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was just saying it out in the canteen there, like, he seemed to be back to his very best as well, you know, in the last couple of years. I actually, in a piece of analysis there last week, I showed a goal he got against Clare in 2-11 and a similar one only last week, like 2 weeks ago. And he really looked to me to be, and then you were just telling me, fitness-wise.
Yeah, he's winning all the fitness tests. Even the young fellas, the young whippersnappers are coming in. But he has epitomised everything that's good about Tip this year in the fact that he's led from the front, you know, a renewed zest for hurling, taking on the defences. And yesterday when we were struggling, he was the guy that, you know, was the go-to man, winning hard ball. And Dermot Byrne, he curtailed Dermot Byrne, because Dermot Byrne, as you well know, is well known for moving up the pitch. And it was funny enough, immediately after Bonner gone off, Dermot Byrne scored a classic point where he dodged the ball over a guy's head and slapped it over the bar. So from that perspective, all those little things, all these measure up with players, has got to be assessed again and reassessed with Tip.
And is there a worry then, Ken, just sticking with the Tip team, because you deserve to be talked first and foremost about after winning all your games in Munster, that like Kyle Barrett, I presume that was maybe just a twinge or that of the hamstring, and they said, look, we're true, let's take him off. But is there a worry that there hasn't been enough guys kind of tested in other games? Like, you know, I know Jake Morris got a start yesterday.
Yeah, and he got 60 minutes, which was great for him to get. Like, he's only a kid. At the end of the day, he's only a kid. He won an All-Ireland Urgy One last year at 18 years of age. So he's getting to the pitch of it. Mark Kehoe came in, which we're waiting. But Mark had a few serious injuries in training as well, just a few setbacks. When you talk about the substitutes, like Sean O'Brien came in, did very well yesterday. Alan Flynn, Barry Heffernan didn't come in yesterday. Seamus Kennedy was on the sideline, going to come in when Brendan Maher got injured. We had a big deluge of breath there for that point of view as well when Brendan got injured, but Brendan thankfully got back up. And it's maybe up front where we have to go to men. Now, there is one, of course, guy who played so well against Cork, Michael, and that was Niall O'Mara. Niall, unfortunately, pulled a hamstring in preparation for the Waterford game. So he's been out since, and he's been hurling up a storm. And he seems a likely replacement if Bonner is not going to play. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just, I did the good old soldier here with my piece for last Saturday and sent in early copy, as Colin would call it there. I don't know if it's journalistic stuff. But, yeah. But I hadn't the Limerick team at that stage. Yeah. And what I will say is, Mike, you know, I would have just changed my prediction. Like, if leaving the hurler of the year, the captain, the number one candidate for hurler of the year in some ways, in Gerard Hegarty, out of the team, and Graham Mulcahy. Like, I'm going to throw it out there straight out because I believe this to be the case. I might be well wrong, and I was told I was wrong by Derek McGrath and Joanne Cantwell live on air yesterday, actually. But I think John Kiedy was after that third place spot again. I think he thought Cork would turn over. No, he's entitled to test his panel. Clare can have no complaints. Like, I'm not complaining. You're beaten 18 points by Limerick. You're beaten 13 by Cork. You can't complain. But at the same time, I still thought there were four absolute key guys. Now, as you said, the way it's after panning out now, he's in the Munster final. It's in Limerick. He won't be wanting to lose it now.
Yeah, I'd say back to the point I was making earlier on. I'd say he knew that, you know, he was able to do it. He had the time, he had the game, he knew they were qualified. And I suppose there's nothing better. If you can rotate your panel and throw three or four guys in there, give them a chance. That's still probably the worry maybe going forward with Tip, is that, you know, they seem to be picking the same 21 or 15 to 21 all the time. Is he giving those fellas a chance? And you pick up one or two injuries and all of a sudden you're looking over at your bench, you know, you lose Bonner Maher, you have to start Dan McCormack or Niall O'Mara, guys that would have been, you say, well, maybe they'll come on or they'll part of the squad. So I tipped an ideal time for Limerick yesterday. They looked to throw in the guys, you know, he rested Hegarty, rested Keane Lynch, you know, Declan Hannan wasn't in the 26. You know, we hear all the talk about how strong their panel is, but I just think the edge was off them. It looked from watching the match, you know, the cut and thrust that they brought and the edge that they brought to the game the previous week against Clare, you know, they didn't need to do it. They had done their job the week before, and I think he was able to do it. And I think he looked yesterday to see what's his next three or four guys against Tip. He kind of a bit of a judgment and say, well, how did they do? You know, it's a good chance for him to say,
Can you switch it on and switch it off?
I think they're a very experienced team, Ken. I think they're in a good place now. I think they're coming in. They've 2 weeks to get it right again. They're going to the Munster final. You know, they haven't a Munster medal between them, so I don't think they're going to look at, it's in the Gaelic grounds. Well, some of them might have from 2014, Dowling might have a few. But this team, as this group of teams together, you know, I think they'll be making a serious attempt to win that match.
It's funny, we asked Donal Maloney afterwards, saturated to the skin now and kind of looking fairly cross. Now, he did say it's up to Limerick to do what they want to do, and he did say the road would turn at some stage. But I think you summed it up. You know, if you're in that position where you've been beaten a couple of times, you know, it does come across, I won't say sour grace, but you're going to grasp it. And, you know, it's his prerogative. And I suppose that's the one thing about a round robin. you're always going to have the chance that you'll be looking at the other match and saying, if only they had done this and if only they had done that. And I mean, like, it just wheels me back to Clare and the fight they showed, you know, yesterday and the attitude. And just, you'd have to ask, like, where was that against Tip and Limerick? Because they wouldn't have been in that position if they'd produced that. And I know that's an easy question to ask, because if every, you know, if we can answer that, everyone would be a great manager. But, you know, it was probably too late at that stage.
Was it down to the changes, Dale? Did he pick a different team? And he, like, the setup was different. He picked Tony Kelly.
We've been
speaking about it. Like, he played a two-man full forward, and so you might, when you were watching it, he was nearly in full forward. Except for O'Donnell. Like, they're two extremely dangerous players if they get a bit of space inside there. But maybe the changes that he made, was it?
But you've played against Tony or managed against him or mentored against him often enough to know that it wouldn't be in his kind of DNA to be inside. Like, he wouldn't really like it, I'd say himself. But I'd say there was a bit of maybe straight talking. This week you'll go wherever you're put and you'll do a job.
But it hadn't worked the last couple of weeks. He'd been going back, playing very deep. You know, if you, as you say, when you're playing against him and you're mentoring against him, go back as far as you want, because you're such a good player. I'd be delighted to see you go back as far as you can.
Yeah, and there's no doubt, obviously there's no doubt the fight came out. I mean, I even tried myself Saturday to stir it up a small bit. Is there anything in you, this fella's accusing me of being writing a team talk. But, I'm wondering with the new system, is it possible, we looked at Tip last year, who had to break. Now, obviously, Waterford is the counter argument to that. They didn't bounce at all. Look at Tip last year. They couldn't come out of Munster, and then now 4-4. Is it difficult to be, ultra consistent? And we'll go on to Leinster in a minute, and we can look at that as well. Do players, how do you marry what the Clare players came up with yesterday? Do you know what I mean? As opposed to being beaten 18 by Limerick. Now, Limerick on their day, of course, are very good, and Tip on their day are very good, but Cork beat Limerick. And you'd be saying, why couldn't we come out and really battle for our lives like where they did yesterday when the gun was to the head? Is that to do with the system, that lads are still struggling with the four matches?
I'd say so. The best 20 minutes I saw this year was Tip and Clare. First 20 minutes was unbelievable stuff. 6 points each, and Clare scored 4 or 5 points from play, including David Fitzgerald at half-back, Podge Collins from the middle of the field, and it was a tremendous game. Didn't Tip got the break, we got the goal. Came to half-time, we were 6 up, right, with a storm. The posts were actually shaking, right, so I wasn't happy. I was actually interviewed, the Clare lads interviewed me at half-time and said, geez, 6 points, I don't know, is that good enough here? The breaking momentum then, and Jason Ford, who would normally pot the pint, hit the post, back to Shamey, top of the net, as you well know, and the rest is history. If those breaks go against you, it knocks the confidence out here. Clare were under pressure to do well in that game, home game, and it didn't pan out. Tip got a break. I think, when you talk about the system and when you talk about teams, all teams playing here are, have their frailties as well. They have their breaks in confidence. They have the tried and tested when it comes to the crunch. You're depending on certain guys to lift the team, and Tony Kelly's the go-to player in Clare, and it just wasn't working for Tony. And I've seen Tony 121, he broke my heart 121 level. From that perspective, if he's on song, Clare on song, and that simple criteria was there yesterday, Mike, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, he was very good. He got 2 great points and he got the goal, which was a classic coming from deep. But I mean, it's deep inverted commas, because, I saw him in a couple of games and he was behind his own 45, and you'd wonder, should you have an electric wire going across the 65 and say, look, if you feel the zap, go back in, because he's deadly dangerous. And you're talking about matchups. That was a matchup you didn't want, him and Robert Downey, a teenager who's kind of finding his way, and your man just slips him on the blind side. And
Kilkenny were brilliant at that, weren't they? Kilkenny were brilliant at picking out the young player, putting Chef in on top of him, and then the rest of the history,
It was so well known, Ken. It was nearly a double insult to the fella you were putting Shefflin on, because you were letting everybody know that you thought him, that he was the weak link. It was a real kind of, here comes out. But in fairness to Kelly, the goal he got, I thought he was a long way out to beat Nash. I was surprised at first that he went for a goal, but he stuck it. But when I see the likes of him, Joe Canning and a couple of other fellas, I sometimes think, are these guys so good coming all the way up and playing whatever way they want, that it can be hard for them to fit into a system then, for the management to convince them, look, you're better if you play this role, because it was all the way up. They've been carrying teams at club in nearly minor, under 21 level. I'm not saying they're kind of hard to manage, no, far from it. But I'm just saying, you would say someone like Tony Kelly, you'd want him near the goal at all times if you could. And sure, look, you saw the benefit of it yesterday for Clare.
Yeah, and like I wouldn't be too sure that, you know, Tony kind of plays, even his club hurling.
A free spirit kind of thing, isn't it? He's just way he is. Just
go and play, Tony.
And I think we're having the structure that you play in this role, and it looked at times to be very structured over the last couple of matches, whereas he definitely had more freedom yesterday to go in and go out, you know, and ask questions of the opposition.
And Keane Lynch comes into that play as well. He's another free spirit. Yeah. And, you know, he's a key component of the Limerick setup because he goes at it, he loves his hurling, he'll try something different, he'll flick the ball and he lifts the crowd like Bobby Ryan used to do at Tipperary, lifting the crowd, doing just one thing that would, something, you know, extraordinary. And that's the change, and that's what builds a team up and gives them that little bit of inspiration to move on.
And that's where I'd say Kylie, like, is winning in lots of ways. He's gone through with 4 points, which is, when you think about the Leinster situation, we'll talk about that. But, do you know, he nearly said Paddy Loughlin has come in and done very well, and he left off the boys' alternative weeks, Burns and Morrissey. Then he could leave out Hennan yesterday and nearly say it to the three, right, he's going to be there, he's my main man, and which of the two of you are going to be the guy? And again, in midfield, Darragh Donovan got in for Lynch. We all know Lynch is going to be there. Did he say it to the, you know, he didn't probably have to say it straight out, but like, you were an ordinary guy at training there and you're saying, it's me or Will O'Donoghue if you're Darragh Donovan, like, you know. And again, in the half forward line, like, Shemmy Flanagan didn't go well. Aloy's picked at 14. He obviously comes out to the wing and they leave the two inside, but didn't go his way. Like, he didn't look like the player of last year. I think that's what Kylie has, like, that other managements don't have.
But Shemmy Flanagan was that X factor last year. Shemmy Flanagan was a very exciting player last year. And gave him that little bit, you know, he tried something different, he flicked the ball, he did the shimmy, he did his hand pass, and either he scored himself or he put someone through. He had a brilliant year last year, Shane Flanagan, but he hasn't hit that form this year. And I'm sure that's a concern for the Limerick camp, you know. Like, from their perspective, Peter Casey, brilliant player coming in last year as well, you know. Shane Dowling coming in. So he's got to get the mix right. And sometimes, you know, it's not as easy to gel it together as just saying the best 15 go on the pitch and we have 5 brilliant subs to come in. It mightn't just work that way. And I know the way a lot of people are thinking, I mean, we were all thinking it and talking about it last night, and you were discussing on Twitter, like, you know, is it Limerick's Munster final to win? Sure, if they turn up, they're going to win. But our Tip going to take that line down either? I mean, that's not Sheedy's way. That's not the way of this Tip mantra at the moment. The mentality is strong at the moment, and that's a key component of the Tip's hope at the moment.
Yeah, that's why I honestly think John Kiley thought Cork were going to turn over Clare and he'd be hitting the route he went last year, but he's 2 weeks now to get his thinking changed, because whatever about going half pelt for yesterday, I'm not saying the fellas he put out didn't try hard. You couldn't stop a fella from trying hard, sure enough.
Oh, no, it was an 30,000 intense
people.
Game.
I wouldn't take away from that at all, but I mean, you can be sure Declan Hannan will be wearing 6 and Keane Lynch will be wearing 9 and Gerard Hagerty will be wearing 10 or 12, or, you know, so that it's not one you can throw now when you get this far.
No, it's going to be like, once you're there, you're going to all guns blazing to win it, because, you know, if you do win it, you have 4 weeks, even though the past number of years would have said the winners of Munster, like going to the semi-final straight and having that break hasn't done you any good, and all the Munster champions have been turned over, especially in Cork's case for the last 2 years. But you do have 4 weeks to get ready, you know what I mean? So you can afford to, you know, have a bit of time. You won't want to go into that quarter-final if you lose. You know, losing a Leinster final or a Munster final, you know, can be difficult to get over. It'll take 3 or 4 days, and all of a sudden you've got to get your head around. You've got a team coming through who are probably wounded and hurt and have a game under their belt. So you can see the benefits of the third place, there's no doubt about it. But I think that Limerick now at this stage, I think it's made for a great final. I think Limerick and Tip in the Gaelic grounds, I think Tipper, as Ken said, I think their mentality is really strong. He's driving the bus, you know, going one way. They're taking no step back, you know, and they're doing 2 games away from playing an All-Ireland final, like, and compared to where they were last year, that's a huge turnaround.
Yeah, I'm obviously sad that the banner are not there, but I think it's bubbling up into what could be an absolute classic finish to the season. Yeah. Like, you look at the games to come, and like Pat Spillane, I suppose, accused us of being cheerleaders for hurling, like that we don't ever see a bad game, and I think the footballers have adopted that this year. But like, you, people are voting with their feet as well, aren't they? Look at the crowd in Thurles yesterday for effectively a dead rubber. Mm, yeah. Do you know? And the crowd in Ennis, and I was in Parnell Saturday night and just to see the scenes from Wexford Park also, like, people are really enthralled with the system, you'd have to say it.
Yeah, and I mean, something I mentioned this morning, with all due respect, you know, the Thurles, which we all love, going to places like Ennis, Waterford, I know Wexford is hosted, but like having the big game in a smaller place, also it's a more, you know, it's a special atmosphere. Like Ennis was great, you know, yesterday morning, there was tons of Cork people, loads of Clare people, you know, a real buzz. I was down for the last Waterford match, and even though they were kind of on a downer, it was still a different dynamic and a different vibe, and fellas were enjoying it, and, you know, coming up the road to the match, and it's a big game and all the paraphernalia. I think that has been the big success, if you like, has been bringing the big show on the road and giving different places, not just economically, but just giving the whole thing a buzz and a visibility that it hasn't had. And as I say, look, you know, Thurles, we all love going there, like the Gaelic grounds, maybe not so much for reasons of access, and of course Páirc Uí Chaoimh, we'll just move on rapidly, but like, it is great, you know, to see that. And Parnell Park would be kind of part of that, you know what I mean? It would be that kind of, it's a small ground, so it's like a private party rather than being lost in Croke Park. It is like having it in a little town all to itself.
The funny thing about it was, you know, Innes was going to be packed with Tip and Clare. You won't get in. There was a few tickets hanging around. There was a few tickets hanging around Wexford Park Saturday night. But Parnell Park, seemingly a lot of people were left outside. Didn't get into Parnell Park for the Galway Dublin match. And it's a good thing. It's just tough on the poor people that didn't get in. But it's a great, it's great to see Parnell heaving, like, you know. Fantastic.
Yeah, I just took a picture. I didn't even have a ticket going up, no, I have to say. But I met the great Tom Ryan from the FINA. So he said, come on, he says. So he got me a primed seat, I have to say, in the middle of the stand. And I just took a picture and said, the nail is bouncing. And that's the feeling you got off it. Like, because Gerard know as good as I would that, you know, they don't have the major support of the Hill 16 guys, I'd say. You know, let's say the fellas that, you know, there could be a Daily Mount Friday night, they go to Croker Sunday, whatever you want to call it. You want to call them day trippers, mate. But there is a hardcore Dublin support, hurling support, and they are more suited to Parnell in because they will bring that sort of a Dublin atmosphere. It was a fantastic atmosphere there, like.
Yeah, it looked like, again, watching on the TV, sure, it's a real fortress for Dublin. Like, you know, when you don't have the numbers that the footballers have, you know, the footballers would play no match in Parnell Park. They go into Croke Park every single time, and like that is their fortress. That's their home. That's where they know that they're very, very hard to beat. And you know, as you said, the diehard core Dublin people or Dublin's hurling supporters, like, you know, they have a different step when they're going into Parnell. They know that they're very hard to beat. They know that the other teams more or less don't want to be going in there. You know, the other teams psychologically hate playing in Parnell Park. So, like, I think the way the draw fell for them this year, you know, they had the two home games. They had Wexford at home and Galway at home. And coming down to the last match, you knew they had a right chance. They knew they were right there.
I mean, Hall, I don't know who knew that too. In fairness, I mean, he put Canning in the subs. He knew I might need Joe here tonight. And he had to introduce him. And it's just at the other end, they leaked a couple of goals. And, you know, it's just amazing how things happen. A perfect shoulder from Dahi Burke put Chris Crummy straight through. You know, usually he'd hit him and he'd be gone back out. But it actually put him at a different angle straight through and left Colin Callan with no chance for a great goal, you know.
Yeah, it was right from the get-go, you sensed that there was something possible there. And to pick out, it's very hard now because I didn't see the replay. I was there, but Alan Nolan came out and sickened Brian Concannon, goalie's club here in front of me now. Like, but like he actually, some refs would have given a free that was a tad late. Now, it was very marginal now if it was late. I'm not saying it was either because in real time, but just as your man was about to play the ball, Nolan came out of the goal, and of course he's a strong lad, like, and met him, and the ball broke and they cleared it down the field, and like the cheer that went up, like, you sensed maybe that, hey, there could be something on the cards here, like, you know. And can I just go to the overall thing? Like, I was sitting behind and there was a lad with headphones on listening to Radio 1, and I said, there's no chance you turn off the headphones and put on the speaker there. I'm trying to follow it on Twitter. So we were sitting there, there's a couple of stewards sitting behind us, and Christy O'Connor was with me, and Christy, being the Galway goalkeeping coach, I was cheering for Dublin and Christy was cheering for Galway, I suppose. But Hugh Mann put on the commentary from Radio 1 from Wexford Park, and it reminded me, like, nearly of going way back. Was it Man City, Man United, the Aguero moment? Yeah. Like, it was ferocious drama, wasn't it? It's one of the things that the new system does bring us.
I'm glad to hear that, because the way you were talking about Limerick tipped, it was like West Germany and Austria back in 1982 for a while.
It was. It was.
You're showing your age now, Mike.
They played for nil all, I take it, Mike, did they? Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be drawn into that debate. No, we're out and I'm going to take it. But I said what I had to say yesterday. But wasn't it ferocious drama, lads?
Absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it set up the whole weekend, you know. Both games on Saturday and the crowds and the pitch afterwards. And particularly Wexford Park, the drama of the guys. And you mentioned West Germany. Like I said that just in the canteen tea there. Like Owen Murphy was taking the free. He was going to take a quick one. Next thing, this is about 3 minutes.
So you're adhering to this theory, Ken Hogan.
So he walked around in a circle for a while. And then he took the free. Then Wexford won the free. And Mark Fanning came out to take it fast. And then someone, obviously he got some signal from somewhere, because he walked around a big long circle. And fair play to Fergal Horgan, you know, he did a fantastic job in the game. I think he made the game, because the physical exchanges were absolutely brutal. And what a game, you know, played from the heart. We talk about systems, Dalo, but systems went out the window in a lot of ways. And in fairness to Wexford, you know, they have their little system, and obviously Dee played fantastic stuff in the middle of the field, you know, 5 points from play. But overall, Pádraic Walsh's point, you know, when he caught it going backwards, went forward, took the return pass from Joey Holden, and a fantastic score, a real Walsh score, a real Walsh family score to lift the whole thing. But overall, in the context of Dublin winning and Wexford and Kilkenny being a draw, and Cody and Fitzy there having, they're nearly absolutely going to kiss each other at one stage, you know, it seemed at the end of the game. But there's going to be another story to that. There's going to be another twist to the tale. Wexford have been coming. It's their third year in the making. The O'Connors are coming through. Lee Chinney's playing at his best. And if any time Wexford have a chance to win a Leinster Championship, this is the one, and get through to an All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah. It was amazing. I because I was in Parnell, I only got to really see, but you see so much on social media now anyway. I'd seen this Fitzy and Matthew O'Hanlon exchange. Is it a draw? But your suggestion here might be that one of the umpires had the commentary on from Parnell Park for Mark Fanning and for Owen Murphy to take your time with the puck out. Dublin are leading here, kid, we're through.
Well, there has been rumblings during the year that even the goalkeepers are mic'd, you know, because they dictate everything. It wouldn't have happened in Jeremiah's time anyway, because I often said to Baz, what'll I do with the ball? He says, hit it as far as you can and make sure it doesn't come back. So it's a different system now, but the goalies seem to be tuned into everything nowadays, and they know exactly what's going on.
Or
and
if there was a noted catching wing back, you'd be avoiding him all the time. I noticed just an awful lot of it just come down top of me, Ger.
You saw us have the hurley up there, though. Come on, hit it down on top of me.
The Babs was noted for that with Tip. You know, if he was trying out a young fella, he'd go down to the opposition goalkeeper. Kevin Finley actually was a culprit. And he'd say, hit it down on top of that fella. We'll see what he's like, because he'd be giving Finley a winner for the following Wednesday in Goran Park anyway. So that's the way it worked out for that time of view.
Yeah. He's a former Cork goalie came in after you, Ger, there. He'll remain nameless. But he started to reveal to me last week that, remember the slitter's been taken out of the Cork goal there?
Last year in the Munster final.
Yeah. That he may have had some little heart, but the lad that did it couldn't shut up about it. To have one of his mates film in it, who put it on a WhatsApp thing or whatever. But it's brilliant. Like keepers are, you're a unique breed. I'll give you that anyway. I think you should all be like it should be like military service years ago. You should all be made to do a year a cornerback.
I don't mention the balls in the bucket of water, you know.
For getting him to admit to that now, Dalo, you've done well.
How do you follow that? A year's penal servitude at wing back chasing some fella, some 19-year-old around the place. But like, it's funny. I suppose that's the opposite side, the danger of a dead rubber. But that's the opposite side of the system, that you can have it literally going minute by minute, etc. But I actually thought yesterday, actually in Cusack Park, I thought I saw one of the Cork mentors go out and obviously pass on some signal when Pádraic Horgan had a free later on. And you'd wonder if the message was different. Would he have maybe gone for a goal or whatever? You know, at that stage, the deal was done. If you'll pardon the expression, in Thurles. So I just tried to feed your paranoia. But I mean, look, like, it's unbelievable drama. And I mean, even on the Sunday game, I think last night, did they have it kind of going simultaneously? You know, like everyone makes out, because it just makes it a fantastic. And it teed up Sunday then as well, if you like.
Yeah, like... it's a tough weekend on me now, I'm going to say it straight out. I might enjoy this evening. I think I have that feeling over me, but I hadn't eaten for 4 days because I had to sit down beside the new slimline Derek McGrath in the studio, and someone arrived with pizzas in Salt Hill in the little cubby hole of a hut we had. And I was wondering, right, why Tomás O'Shea wasn't taking much notice of the drama unfolding in Turles in front of us on the screen. And of course, he was filming me tune pizza and something like 2,000 likes on it. Last time I checked, I squirted him with water just before he went on the air. Then I was going to, I don't think John Cantwell was too impressed, but
what a super mix.
Everything went against me there again, and awful doing there. It was Papa John's. Yeah, Superman could be disgusted with me. And I like his pizzas too, you know.
Well, no, don't move still on.
Supermac, I like your pizzas. But like on that, like, and we just to look at that, like, I was, fellas had a go at me now again on this, but if I was looking at this coolly 2 weeks ago, I was in Salt Hill 3 weeks ago now, and they were abysmal against Wexford. They should have been beaten, tell you the truth. Like, they were abysmal now, and it was a poor match as well. And they went off to Carton House, and you had a great weekend now, you know. They worked on tactics, worked on lifting the spirit where they were at, and they went down into Nolan Park and produced a huge one. When in actual fact, they didn't need to, Ken, if you thought about it. All he needed to do was beat Dublin. And I thought they were that bit flat, tired looking. There wasn't the life in them. When you think about Dublin, like, they had played Wexford and Kilkenny. They had Carlow. They won that by 10, 11 points. Yeah. And then they had a week off. So lads like Keeney, Rush, fellas like that were fresher. They were really ready, knowing their season came down to this game, where I thought, not taking away from Dublin, no one iota, because they were superb on the night. Like, I have to say, it was a magic night to be there. I suppose having been involved, you'd be hoping they'd win, and you would get sucked into the atmosphere then. But did Galway get it wrong, really? Like, they could be gone. If they totally focused on Parnell Park, they were ahead of Galway, or ahead of Dublin, on the head-to-head, and... Do you know, that was job done, sort of, for him then. He'd be through, whether he'd been in a Leinster final or not. Probably wouldn't be, but he'd be through. And with Canning coming back, did he mismanage it a small bit? Now, Micheál has won the first All-Ireland in 17 that they won since Cyril Farrell's time. So
yeah.
I've won no All-Ireland as manager and had a good few goes at it. Like, so I'm not going to be having a go at Micheál. I don't know who, he's a top bloke as well as a top manager. But if you thought back on it now, if he got his chance over, would he have kept Carton House maybe for later on the year and gone down to Kilkenny and maybe not win? You'd be trying to win always, of course, but not put as much emphasis on it and really go savage for Saturday night.
Well, it's easy to be wise in hindsight, I suppose, one, but the big thing, I suppose, that I took from the Galway situation was even their National League performances. Like, to draw with Carlow, with all due respect to Carlow, and Bonner, a great friend of mine, fair play to him, like, he's got the very best out of that group of players. But to draw with Carlow, you know, every National League game you played in your life, you never went out to play poorly. You went out to prove a point, and some of those National League games were even tougher maybe than Championship games, because it was a bit darker and you got stuck in and you got away with things that you wouldn't get away with maybe in a Championship match, you know. So from that perspective, the Carlow Din victory, they only won by 6 points, lads. Do you know what I mean? 5-6 points. Struggled to win 124 to 118. You'd be expecting the Galway forward line, even without Joe, to be potent. Connor Whelan's, Connor, you know, all the guys that are playing there, Jason Flynn's, you know, really flamboyant players. And young Con Cannon, you'd be expecting them to bury 4 or 5, because, you know, you see different teams. That's the ruthless streak that's there, to score 4 or 5 goals, which puts daylight between the teams and gets that maybe 12-15 point victory. Ultimately, like, Galway went down and score difference. You know, everybody finished in 5 points. And I can't fault Micheál O'Donoghue. Like, they went down to Kilkenny and won. Obviously, there was great, you know, furore in Galway from the point of view of, oh, geez, he beat Kilkenny. That's the shot. That's the one. That's the one. But Micheál knew perfectly well what was going to happen in Parnell Park. You sensed it going up to Parnell. You didn't go up for the Lark Dalo. You went up sensing that something going to happen here. And they knew they were in for. But Dahi Burke, the All-Ireland club campaigns with, and particularly, you know, it was a bad defeat for, you know, St. Thomas's on the day. That just didn't do well. Fintan Burke got cruciate as well. It was just a bad day out for him. I'm sure took the winds out of the sails of the St. Thomas's lads. Connor Coney not getting back into the team, off the team. And particularly from the point of view of Doughy Burke, Jesus, what a, I think he's three in a row, has he? Four in a row. What, you know, what a man. I just think, you know, Eamon Dillon took him. He saw, looked him in the eyes, took him on. That wasn't the Doughty Burke we've seen the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, fair play to Dillon. Straight line, straight through, great goal.
And on, we're consoling ourselves a bit in Clare today, Ken, that our minors are through to the Munster final, and one of our own lads as well. We're consoling ourselves in Clarecastle as well. We have the captain, Keane Galvin, a great lad. But they have been in something like 5 of the last 7 All-Ireland minor finals, like, and in the league, there was very, we commented on that year after the league, didn't we?
You'd wonder where they've, like, have yeah. they, what's coming through, you know. They've got to the All-Ireland, you know, last year's under-21 team as well was highly regarded, and they're finding it hard to make the breakthrough. You know, I think he went to look in the league to look to try find a few, but I don't think in the end of it he didn't find too many players. And like, their form all year was very inconsistent. They were up and down all year long. And I think, you know, you go back to your Carlton House scenario and planning, I think he would have thought, he would have expected halfway through the season, we probably have to book Carlton House quite a bit out.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to book that, to, you know, at the midpoint of their season, they're going to have a break.
Or we got him somewhere in Spanish Point or something. They,
but they probably would have thought at that stage they would have had 4 points, you know, the Carlow and the two home games. Carlow and Wexford, they had 4, they'd be nearly there. And I think going down to Wexford, as you say, or going down to Nolan Park, first time that Kilkenny were beaten at home in 80 years, whatever it was. Like, that's a fantastic, that's a great result. But I suppose, again, it's in hindsight. He would have known. I have no doubt he would have known from past that going up to Parnell Park was going to be easy. But the way it fell for Dublin was brilliant. They had their week off. Galway were up there to be knocked at. You know, it's a bit like Limerick. You're up there. Very hard to do it 2 weeks in a row. And I think that, you know, they just, but in fairness to Dublin, you know, it wouldn't have happened unless Dublin played really well. You know, they, and by all accounts, you were there, they said they really did. And they, you know, they've been developing and they've been building and building. And, you know, it's the one place that, you know, people don't want to go to play Dublin. The challenge for me is when they step up now, they go into the quarterfinals, whatever, they're going to be going to Thurles, or they're going to be going to Limerick or where, Croke Park, whatever it is. You know, that's a bigger challenge, and that's the ones they'll have to face.
Funny what Ken was saying about Doughty Burke, I'd agree with, because I just think he's just a horse of a man. When he's not quite at it, you'd say, do you know what's going on? But it's funny, Anthony, you were saying they look a bit leggy or a small bit dead. And it's funny, if you go back a couple of years ago when they won the All-Ireland, they had this famous Lucas, the strength and conditioning guru, and everyone in Tip was broken-hearted that he was gone, because look at the size of Conor Whelan and all this kind of stuff. So it's funny how the fashion turns around. No, they look a bit off the pace in terms of conditioning, whether they are or not. And it's funny that a couple of years ago, no one was fitter and stronger than them in the perception out there. Do you know what I mean? And now Dublin looked physically well able for them Saturday night. It certainly looked like they weren't kind of conceding anything, kind of hiding away.
Yeah, and just go back to the Dubs, I suppose. Yeah, it's Galway's are gone. It's hard, like, there's two teams through in Munster on 4 points. Galway are gone on 5 points. It's a hard one to swallow in some ways, like, aren't they? If you're Galway around Salt Hill now yesterday, and sure, that'd be, you know, I know Salt Hill is a good football club, but a lot of the city lads and they'd be hurling lads, and they were just, you know, coming away, like they were saying, you're out on 4, at least. We got 5 and we're out, and there's two teams in Munster gone through. But that's just the system. There's nothing much we can do about that. And I suppose, with due respect to Carlow, if there is a weaker team in Leinster, you're probably likely to get that 2 points in your bag. But to go back to the Dubs, say, you know, you're on about the strength and conditioning, a huge one, and I thought he was effective against Kilkenny, was Jonathan Glenn. Do you know, and like, what a captain Chris Crummy has become, Joe. You might have made him captain, I'm not sure now.
Yeah, he came in, we brought him in, and he was,
he was there, and you knew he was going to
come in through. Like, yeah, they've been coming through for a number of years, you know, and like, Crummy is 6'7", he's a huge man, you know, like, you stand, he's a huge physical presence and everything, he's real, has developed into one of the real leaders of the team. And, you know, as you say, when he took on Johnny Glynn and he beat him and he finished up being turned for the penalty and then getting a goal, and you're saying, you know, where's half-back play here? Like, you're going, you know, he's up at the other end of the pitch. But they do, you know, there's a few guys, as you know, Dale in Dublin, that he's developed now into one of the leaders of the group. You see all the photographs from the last couple of days. He's the guy that's been putting the hands up. Like, you know, I think he's developed into a really, really very good wing back. Like, you know, played against him this year in the Fitzgibbon. You know, he was playing with DCU from wing back. And I think he's
puck it down the other wing.
Puck it down, well, just your party folly under the wing. So you had to be careful as to where you were going, you know. So, but he's developed his long range striking. thing. You know, he's just developed into a very good player, very good leader, very good strong mentally. He's a good guy, you know what I mean? I think he epitomises where we're at the moment.
You know? Yeah, and I think, you know, you touched on a kin as well, and a huge blow, obviously, will be on O'Donnell going with the hamstring early. How serious that is, that, you know, he came around by the stand, as you have to in Parnell, as you know, and it was all ice and bandages anyway, and it's all... They'll be praying this with a bit of a break that they might be able to get through.
Yeah, there's a bit of a history there that he has he's suffered from hamstrings there. Like, he has explosive power off, like, from in speed. Like, you know, that's, you know, we put him in full back for probably even for that reason, that he's so good coming out to the ball. But he does suffer a bit from the hamstrings because over the years he's had a few niggly injuries with him. But you'll be hoping that he'd become right for the next day, because he's a huge part of the team. He's the best full back in the country to me this year.
Yeah, and the other one was I won't even talk about the Crokes boys now. They did well. Fairness Dush in a row, let him hit the freeze. It was a big call out of Matty and he nailed them all. But Ken mentioned it, like, when Eamon Dillon is on a good day, like, he was certain. And he only wound up at 1-1, but he set up the penalty with a run in.
He was involved in the 3 goals.
Yeah, I did a piece highlighting how Tip seemed to be, every chance to get, his thinking green flag, like. And Eamon Dillon, I thought, really troubled Galway in that, you know. He's explosive power, as we know, on pace, like.
Great word used in hurling parlance, bowled. He's bowled.
Oh, he's bowled.
And he goes at it, and he looks you in the eyes, you know, and he's not far away from Hanlon's Corner. My wife was born just down the road from Hanlon's Corner, and you know the club. They live and die for, they're fairly proud of him, tell you that much. And he...
bogeys.
I ran around it a good few times. And he is very conscious of the fact that he's representing them people. And we spoke, you know, about the small hurling community in Dublin, but... and I suppose I just thought about there a little break as well. These little breaks help. Shane Barrett got back in, you know, on an appeal. Johnny Hanbury didn't, you know, and the Galway full back line were struggling for oxygen there.
It's just him, John Costello, is able to pull off strokes like this, Ken. There,
well, strokes in the hurling sense from that point of view. I hope John was a happy man. You know, he could have had Cormac there. I'm sure you would have, and Gerald loved to have Cormac as well, you know, from that perspective, but. Keeney, you know, his conditioning, and you talk about physical strength. Michael Mine went on S&C, but MC, mental strength, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
He just knows he has it. He wants it. He's a winner all the way. That's a huge sign. And I remember Cummins being dropped, the infamous situation in 2007. Brendan's best years were then from 2007 until he retired because of the fact, you know, he got kicked in the teeth. He went back up and he went back at it again. Clean sheet for Dublin and a savage pint as well from the half back line. What a lift to Parnell Park, I'm sure it was unbelievable.
Yeah. And we'll go, I didn't see this. I have it Sky Plus, but I didn't get a chance to look at it yet. But Wexford and Kilkenny, would you feel the longer Kilkenny are in the competition, the better they're going to get, Mike? You know, that's what I said from the start. I thought they were very vulnerable. And I felt maybe Saturday morning they were the ones that could be caught, and they were very nearly, obviously. But the longer they stay in, the guys that are, you know, there could be a serious 15 for a finish.
Yeah, because something I noticed last year, and I spoke to a couple of managers about this, is that it's so accelerated now. If you have a 19 or 20-year-old who comes onto the team, he has 4-5 championship matches, whereas long ago, he might be 7 years trying to get, you know, the same equivalent experience. It looks something like Mullen, the goal he got. Just the way, I mean, you were talking, Gerard, about fellas breaking their wrists with a shot. But I mean, you know, that was a lovely finish. He did your man with the eyes, obviously, because he was gone, the goalkeeper. But a fella like him, what has he learned now in this year? Do you know what I mean? That would have taken probably 3 years to learn in the old system, and still a couple of years in the old system. So, like, they're learning on the hoof. And as you say, I don't think anyone would be too kind of, would be looking forward to facing them now with, you know, your man on the sideline. After creating another race of monsters in the jersey.
And look at the guys coming back from injury, Michael, as well. You know, you've got Killian Buckley, who hadn't played for a couple of months, got 50 minutes under his belt. You know, all the goalie, Owen Murphy, was back, and how important he is to their team. You know, the stronger that they get. Like
Walter,
you know,
back.
Walter yeah. coming back in there, as you say, young Mullen. He'd been taken off in the previous two games, and, you know, in a big game where you need to stand up and be brave. What, like the control for the pass to from Finlay, you know, it was a difficult ball to control. Took the sidestep and a brilliant finish, you know what I mean? So you'd imagine he's going to get better, you know, and as they go to Croke Park, they're going to be very dangerous.
Would you save that one?
I'm not sure. Like, it was a brilliant finish. Like, he really went to the side. He took it away. As you say, gave him the eyes, broke the wrist into the corner. They're very hard to stop.
Kenwood. Kenwood.
Well, no, I'm more conscious. One time we're talking about goalkeeper saves. Now we're talking about their puck outs. And in fairness to Fanning, I felt he poked it well enough. The commentators felt he didn't poke it well, but Kevin Foley, I felt, should have caught the ball. I think it just hopped into his hand, and unfortunately for Kevin, who had a great game, he dropped it. And then, of course, Finnerty, another guy that only smells goals as well. What a pass. And Mullen, you know, he's come in under Henry Shefflin, completed the leaving cert, won an All-Ireland club with, you know, with of course, with Sheff. Sheff will tell you, like, Kilkenny are masters at the underdog. He was saying, oh, geez, Ballyhale Shamrocks, we were going so bad early on, the early rounds of the championship, we were struggling. I was thinking of coming back myself, and then Adrian Mullen came in, and, you know, young Reid came in, and we got it going, and, you know, the Aylwards, and now here he is playing at the top level with, and he, of course, has come through the Kieran's nursery as well. So from that perspective, Dalo, you know, don't poke the bear, because once they're poked...
Don't do it, Greg Kennedy. I think that'll be a moment in time. But, yeah, and like a lot of the talk last week was that is TJ better than Henry, wasn't it? It was being turned around there now. There's so many things anyway on various radio stations and obviously pods and
Cody, you know, loved that, like, you
yeah,
know.
And he failed to score from play, am I right?
He don't score from play. He was, you know.
Can you hold him twice like that, Joe?
Well, you're going to Crow Park next time. You know, it's not down on Wexford, like, and it's a different pitch and a different. And you can be sure he'll be well motivated. That'll be thrown at him, and he'll be looking at himself. He won't allow that to happen the next day, I would imagine. Like, you know, so it's going to be a different dynamic. You're going into a Leinster final. You know, the fact that they still drew the match, they're not out, and he didn't play to the standard that he's been playing all year. Like, you know, as you say, they're going to be very dangerous. There's no one writing them off.
Not seen it, Ken, but didn't double tag him really, did they? I know Fitzy plays the man deep, like, with Kevin Foley, but
yeah, Kevin Foley was hanging around there because,
yeah, but Matthew Hannon kind of went one on one.
Yeah, oh, Matthew went 1-1, and Matthew, of course, former good council player. I saw him playing against Spur. My own lads were playing against Spur, so I've seen Matthew. You see, there's the Kilkenny Wexford thing there as well. Aylward, Walter Walsh, they all went to good council. So there's a huge parochial thing there as well. Pride's at stake from that perspective. Matthew Hannon, I thought, was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Savage leadership. One high ball, snapped it in the air, was very aggressive, you know. And in fairness to TJ, he took his punishment. He was still deadly on the frees. He wasn't fazed by the crowd jeering him for that last free. Savage point. The essential thing, you know, ingredient for any great team is a great free taker. And at the end of the day, that's what's so important. It's like Kerry surviving in the Joe McDonough, Shane Conway hamstring badly, went off badly the week before. They still played him 8-9 frees. Nailed every free. And the bonus there will be, of course, when TJ comes back in Crow Park, every score is going to be a bonus from that point of view. And as the Kilkenny team improve, TJ will relish that.
And plus, I'd say, like, it's just, I don't know, I was never at a Brian Cody training session, but he gives off a bit of the Gerlach Nan. I can certainly remember those. No matter who you were, if you were Brian Lohan, if you were James O'Connor, and you had an off day like that, you'd get it. You'd get it certainly for 10 days. Then the last 3 or 4 days, you'd be, you'll do it on
You're
Sunday. Oh, yeah. But he'd have him driven so mad, like, and I'd say Cody wouldn't spare anybody in that sense, like, that TJ will hear about it as much as anyone that didn't perform. Wexford, they seem to be getting a better spread of scores. Can you allude to that? They seem to be, sometimes I think there can be a third year or a second year syndrome where things dip a bit, you know, from the previous year. I mean, they brought 67,000 to the Leinster final in 17, and they just seemed to be off last year, didn't they, really, completely. But there seems to be that bit, like, they could be like tipped now, realistically. I mean, if they had stopped Sean Moran's goal, and if Cathal Dunbar had buried the goal, well, they could be on 7, let's say, of a draw the other night. They could be comfortably, like, top of that section in Leinster. So, are they contenders now, would you think?
I think they're contenders, and they're one team that I've watched, and I watched them in Wexford Park against Tip when they turned over Tip in the National League. They're able to come from behind. One time a Wexford team, once they were 5 or 6 points down, but they have had a couple of major comebacks against Galway and Salthill a couple of years ago as well. The same thing has happened now this year in that they're very comfortable being 3 or 4 down. They're well able to pull the leads back. But plus the fact, which of course is the worrying factor for us in Munster and Tip with Limerick as well. Like, we saw Shane Dolan going off yesterday. We saw Peter Case going off and said, oh, these fellas now are going to be coming in. They're going to be coming in, you know, in the Munster final, you know, with points to prove, as you mentioned, you know, earlier. But the key thing here was, you know, you mentioned Cathal Dunbar. He was taken out. Jack O'Connor came in. Had a storming game. So Davey's looking back into the bench now, and he knows he's five or six guys to come in. Aidan Nolan came in, and particularly from Wexford's point of view, is they have huge trust in each other. They can trust each other now to get the grind out the result. And I think that's what Davey has brought there, that winning mentality, that the game is never over. And they certainly proved that against the Breeze. There was a fairly considerable Breeze. They had to get that equaliser to stay literally in the championship. They did that. But I think the O'Connors have added a new dimension. Rory was drafted in at full forward. Conor McDonald came out wing forward. Rory got two great pints running across, great catch over the bar. That wasn't as free flowing from Wexford in the last few years. They have a huge chance. They won't mind going to Croke Park. They have a pint to prove. It's now for Davey, I think, with this team, because he has brought him this far. He needs to win that major title with him.
Is there, I mean, there's an off thing to say after the free he got to level the match, but when you see Lee Chin take a free and you see TJ Reid take a free, you kind of say one man is in 95% and like he's a game fella now, and in fairness, obviously nobody else wants to be taking them. But like looking at Lee Chin, would you be saying he's a 90% free taker? Is that where they could kind of come unstuck?
And your gut feeling is telling you that, and my gut feeling is telling me that as well. And you mentioned Paddy Foley. Paddy Foley has scored some monstrous points, and we were all saying, where's Paddy taking this one? But fair play to Lee. Yeah. He took responsibility. Yeah. And like we talk about teams, oh geez, they didn't take responsibility. We had no leaders. Yeah. Chin showed he was a leader and put that ball over the bar. You know, a fantastic sign of a player.
But I suppose, and you're right, and I suppose at a certain point, character counts for more even than skill. But you'd be saying maybe if he was more reliable and had less character and was scoring easier ones maybe all along. Because I suppose, can you depend on a fella to have to do that all the time?
Because they're going to need him. He's going to have to, if they're going to be successful, he's going to have to be a 90% man. You know, I think that's it. And that's the challenge. We're not sure. Is he there yet? Because he's got a few ones that he's missed against Galway, that he missed a few handy ones that day. You do need a guy that'll stand up under pressure. You know, that's the responsibility you take on when you're the free taker. That might come down to the last puck of a ball up in the wing, and you have to be able to do it. You know,
and that proved Galway's undoing, by the way, too, Ger. You know, free taker is terrible throughout the championship.
Yeah. Terrible. That was one of the things in Parnell Park before the match, that Joe could play if needed. Now, that was as much of a lift to Dublin to me when he warmed up. Do you know what? The Dublin crowd, they're in trouble. No, he came on, of course, and nailed one from the first puck he got from the sideline over on the far side. But there's no doubt about it that free taking is just gone so huge now. And that's where I thought Matty Kinney was a huge call with Oisín, because if Mark Howard is fit with Crokes, he hits the freeze. Oisín is probably the reserve free taker, you know.
Well, Trollier takes freeze as well with his club, and you know, but from a point of view, like Oisín would have only been the third choice. Tracy and Paul Ryan weren't there, and just goes to show, he obviously has, he's built a lot of trust with these guys to be able to, I've seen Oisín in county finals where he's missed freeze, from in front of the goal. So, but great sign of a guy that, in the cauldron that was last Saturday night, that he stood up and stuck him over the back.
Yeah, it's bubbling up nicely, and I suppose we have a quieter weekend this week now, with due respect to the teams in the Christy Ring and the Laurie Maher and Nicky Racker their day in Croke Park. And I suppose I have to touch on it, Ken. I don't want to be, because there's so much said about it, but you'd be very close to the scene there, awfully down into Christy Ring. How do you have to get so low that it's the only way, probably bottom out? A lot of people felt it would bounce back up straight away from the Joe McDonagh.
Yeah, it's close to the bone even for Tipperary, man, because I went to school in Bor. My father refereed Offaly County Finals. So we're very close to that situation of what has gone on in Offaly. Bor, I mentioned, and Bor is the key word in all this, in my opinion. The geographical for Offaly hurling is around Bor, right? And that's 7 or 8 clubs. Club hurling... Yeah, you mentioned about playing challenge games. We're talking about challenge games ourselves, Dalo. You play the Rhinus, the Coolderries, the Kilcormacs, the Boers, any of those teams, and by God, you will know all about it, because they are top-class club teams. They've played in Ireland Club Finals in the last 10 years, 3 of those teams. From that perspective, club hurling is very healthy in Offaly. This is the total enigma of what has gone wrong from the point of view of losing their way. And it's a huge disappointment. Management's, Kevin Martin, I feel for him. Joachim felt for him, and I'd be very close to Joachim, a great man. And Joachim, you know, always cherished that job. He did a super job with Camogie in Offaly, brought him to, you know, up to senior level, won two All-Ireland championships with him. The circumstances he got the job in were wrong. You know what I mean? He shouldn't have got the job in those circumstances. Kevin Martin had a system there. I was in Tullamore at the Laois game. You know, it went to a puck of a ball, hitting the crossbar, and a great save from Inder Roland as well. You know, and they could have beaten Laois. Now, Laois are probably the favourites, but of course Westmeath will have their say too. But from my point of view, you know, I feel that this slide in Offaly, people are saying it's sad. That's patronising, in my opinion. It's more than that. It's more serious than that. People have got to be aware of the fact that the facilities in Burr, you won an Ireland Sean medal in Burr, and they were poor at that stage, banks. Now we have a stand, terraces, a beautiful pitch. There has to be a give and take. I only saw one football match in my time in Burr. In my time, it was always hurling. Tullamore is a fantastic stadium. The big games have got to be held there. Great facilities and all that. But people, you know, around the Burr area haven't ever been to Tullamore. Young fellas that are playing with a hurley every day of the week haven't actually been in Tullamore at matches. You know, and when you see 700 and 800 at games in Tullamore, it's a poor sign for Offaly Hurling. They're the faithful county. They're a proud county. The club system is very strong. The school systems needs to be worked at. Simon Whelan, I know, he was involved at that stage, a great lad. He got frustrated with the school situation, trying to promote the game in there. It's a serious situation when you see Offaly at Christy Ring level, because that is not, I know Daigo is going on Daigo, and I had that chat with Daigo saying, we're not as good as the Laois anymore, that, but Offaly are as good as that. There's a break in morale there, and it needs to be remedied, and they need to start now working on a new system of getting this team back on its feet and getting pride back into the Offaly hurling.
Yeah, I listened to a lot of the talk as well, that you know, it was they just had to get back to root and branch and work on underage, and like everyone has to do that, whether you're Kilkenny or you're Cork or Tip or whoever you are. But I still think they need to get that senior team back on track and back up into the John McDonagh straight away next year. And there's enough, as you said, with club hurling. And I know from playing matches, obviously, against the Offaly teams, the standard is good, like, and they've shown that in Leinster as well, like, you know, so.
Yeah, Kevin Martin was a teak, tough defender himself. You know, he was a good one. He wanted Offaly to do well. He put his life and soul into it. At that stage of the year, I think, because of they had been beaten, you remember, a couple of years ago by Westmeath and Mullingar as well, no easy place to go. I think it's, you know, the ship. He was trying to steady the ship. He was trying to give lads a belief in what they were about. He had a good squad put together. And as you well know, it upsets the whole apple cart midstream. You know, a game the following Sunday, and Joachim and the lads had only a couple of, you know, Brian Carroll, fantastic hurler. Brian Carroll was well fit to play, but in fairness, his years are over, but a top-class coach. And Brian Carroll has a huge amount to contribute to Offaly hurling in the future. And I hope them guys, if they want these guys, to give them the faith and give them the resources as well to do what they want to do with Offaly Hurling.
It's a bit like a family crisis. We leave it at that. I suppose you need to pull together in times of crisis. I suppose as a family, you mightn't get on great with all the sisters. But you know, when something comes up, lads of any of the 40 year listening, I love you all. Like, you know. But no, sure. Look, great to be here and great to have you, Ken, today. So much pleasure. Great thinking and ideas in there. So lads, thanks for listening. You can listen on SoundCloud, iTunes and examiner.com/podcast, and we'll talk to you all again soon.